listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really. What's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today, we have a special show in a very special place. I am doing this show from the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains. To be more specific, Pigeon Forge. To be even more specific, that cool place known as Dollywood. Our special guest today knows how to soar with eagles, and his name is Al Cesari. He is the founder and president of the American Eagle Foundation. Welcome to the Oh, Behave show, Al.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to find out what it's like to be in charge of the top eagle in the whole planet, an eagle by the name of Challenger, and all the cool things that you've been dying to know about eagles right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition. This is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Greetings, everyone, from Dollywood. And wow, I mean, we're talking good eats, good country music, good family fun. And believe it or not, inside the Dollywood Center is a special eagle sanctuary. Years ago, when I was a youngster, I'm not going to tell you my age on the radio, I first saw this and I fell in love with it. And I'm back here in the Tennessee area on some business, and I called the fine folks at Dollywood, and they hooked me up with Al Ciceri, who is the founder and president of the American Eagle Foundation, and he runs the sanctuary here on the site at Dollywood, and he has a special eagle named Challenger. You know, I was doing a little study of my eagle facts, and I think we should be glad that Ben Franklin didn't get his wish. I understand when the Continental Congress was getting together back in the 1700s to figure out what should be our national emblem, it wasn't eagle that Ben Franklin wanted. What was it?
Yeah, he wanted the turkey. He thought the wild turkey would be a great representative of our country. But the other founding fathers told him to go fly a kite.
Well, I'm kind of glad because I can just imagine all the turkey jokes against us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When you think of the American eagle, my gosh, you can't have a better symbol for American freedom. And, I mean, we're talking money. When that eagle poses, move over, Madonna. Strike the pose, the
That's
eagle.
Right. We used to have a staff member here by the name of John that used to always say, think of this. He said, what has a better ring to it? A nation of turkeys. Or how about a nation of eagles?
Yeah, I think that was a no-brainer.
That's right.
But you've been here for a while in Tennessee, which is a very, very beautiful area. But I want to get a little background on you, because did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams growing up as a child, someday you would be entrusted with one of America's biggest treasures, our national emblem?
I would have never guessed it. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I loved animals from the time that I could walk, you know, and I just... I collected all kinds of animals as a kid, from rabbits and raccoons and ducks and pigeons, you know, whatever I could find and bring home and build a house for. And my mother was very tolerant, and so I always had a bunch of critters around me.
Upstate New York, near
Buffalo. But I never would have dreamed that, even though I love birds of prey and eagles, that I would be in charge of the world's largest collection of eagles, and that I would be traveling all around the United States with a famous eagle named Challenger, you know, flying them in stadiums and at major events coast to coast. I would have told you were crazy.
You know, let's talk about the American Eagle Foundation first, and then we're going to get into the celebrity known as Challenger. But
okay.
You know, we had a problem keeping the population of eagles up back in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that people might want to know about eagles and how you led this to starting this foundation?
Okay. Well, in the early 60s, we only had about 300 or 400 nesting pairs in the lower 48 states that were left in the entire lower 48. We had a lot of eagles still in Alaska. That was always a stronghold for eagles. But I was working in the entertainment business in Nashville in the mid-80s, and I saw a photograph in the Tennessean newspaper that showed about 24 eagle carcasses that were all laying side by side. It was an AP photo, very stark photograph.
Oh.
And they had been shot by some poachers in the Dakotas. Mm-hmm. And it was just it just hit me so hard in the heart and soul that I had to call up our local wildlife agency and ask them, you know, why are people shooting eagles? You know, this is our national bird, and it's such a beautiful, majestic creation that God made for our country. And in that conversation, I learned from a gentleman by the name of Bob Hatcher with the State Wildlife Agency that eagles were an endangered species and that there was very little money available to keep eagle programs going. And so, of course, that was my calling. And I went right to work, and I said, well, look, I'm going to help you, you know, draw attention to your program, and I'm going to start writing letters trying to get some funding to help some of the state and federal programs.
What were you doing at the time? What was your job? I'm just curious.
I worked on various entertainment projects like music videos, movies.
Were you behind the scenes or in front?
Yeah, behind the scenes, behind the camera, country music specials, things of that nature. I was in the heart of, you know, country music territory in Nashville. And if you had asked me then that I would be running an Eagle Foundation 2 years later, I would have said you were crazy then too. But you know, God works in strange ways
and
awesome ways in my life. That's been the case. So after I discovered that eagles needed help, I started getting different country music artists that I know to come out to the eagle releases in Tennessee, and it started generating a lot of publicity for eagles.
Drop some country star names.
Oh gosh, it's really a who's who of list. Everything from, you know, Garth Brooks to Roy Acuff to Dolly Parton, you know, you name it. I just had a whole host of artists. It's just too long a list. But
well, you think with country music stars, they do have a tug on the heart, especially they seem to be very patriotic. So it seemed like that.
It was a good fit, because they care about their country, and most of them are pretty down to earth people, and basic Americans, and they love their country. in two different ways, they love their country.
Yes, right? Yes.
But so anyways, that started to raise a lot of awareness for the Eagle program in Tennessee. And then I'd learned that there was other programs around the state, state, federal, and private agencies were all had needs for money and funding. So I started raising money and giving it out to different agencies to help with their Eagle projects.
Wow.
That was when I first made that first call. That was July of 83. Mm-hmm. And then in early 1985, I got the Miller Brewing Company involved in a big way, and I started giving money away to various other agencies' projects around the country. And then I realized that there wasn't a national organization to protect eagles, so I founded one off my kitchen table, just kind of keeping the faith that, you know, everything would come together, having never done it before, never raised a, you know, didn't have any education in marketing, fundraising, or anything like that, just, you know, loved animals.
Right.
And, but I just had a passion that kind of carried it all, you know, it brought it all together. Because, you know, when you have a passion, you don't quit. You just,
that's right.
If you get knocked down, you just keep getting back up. You learn the hard way and you move on. Don't make the same mistakes again. And things just progress year after year. So in 85, I had the opportunity to come to Dollywood here. I had actually acquired a dilapidated rehab center outside of Nashville, Tennessee, that another group had run. And they ran out of money. And they had, I think, about 30-something birds, some eagles, hawks, owls, falcons, vultures. And the state asked me to take it over because I was already successfully raising money for programs. And so I did, and I realized that I had to probably rebuild this center if I was going to keep these birds. And then God gave me this vision. It just came out of nowhere where he said, just, you know, call up Dollywood and see if you can maybe build an eagle center at Dollywood.
I could just see it. Hello? I got some amazing eagles that need a home. They need something good. I mean, how?
Well, that's what I said. And I knew a singer here by the name of James Rogers, and he entertained here at Dollywood, and he loved eagles. His symbol was the eagle. And I called James up, and I said, James, could you set up an appointment with the general manager of Dollywood? Because I have, you know, a couple dozen eagles that need a home, and I have this idea. And so he set me up with the meeting and met with a guy named by the name of Ken Bell. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that meeting, I told Ken that, you know, we wanted a rehab center, a breeding center for eagles, an educational center.
You asked for it all, didn't
you? I asked it for it all, and they gave me everything, you know, and the door just swung wide open. That's why I knew it was a match made in heaven, because of the fact that, you know, we didn't have to force our way in. It just kind of, everything fell in place. It was divine providence.
I don't want to say that you aimed high, but, you know, there are going to be a lot of those little phrases in this conversation. Warning everyone listening.
That's right.
They're going to be soaring and aiming high, all these things, but it's important.
I like puns, so
okay,
shoot as many of them.
Dish them out, all right.
So that, you know, that's how we came to Dollywood. And in 1991, we opened here, and they built us the world's largest eagle exhibit. You know, a rehab center for eagles. You know, and we have 80 birds of prey at our center here. We've got the largest collection of eagles: 40
wow.
bald eagles, 8 golden eagles, and another 35 other birds of prey. We've got condors, hawks, owls, falcons, and vultures. And some of the bald eagles we've used for breeding for years, and we release their young into the wild because these are all permanently disabled birds. And other chosen birds that we have trained to use for educational purposes. So we, our stage here at Dollywood, our Wings of America Theater, where we do bird shows from April through the end of October, we do 4 shows a day, and we free fly hawks and owls over people's heads, and we just educate them in an entertaining way that they need to continue to protect these precious, you know, critters that God put on this planet with us, and that also that we need to keep our eagle flying strong and free.
That's
for generations
right.
to come, even though we've taken it off the list last year.
Well, with that too, I know we Dolly couldn't make it immediately, but we did hear some things about what Dolly has to say about the American eagle and the fact that it's right here at the park. So we're going to play that right now.
Hi, I'm Dolly Parton, and for over 200 years, the bald eagle has served as the living symbol of all that we Americans stand for, our freedom, spirit, and democracy. Today, more than ever before, we need to care for and protect the USA's national bird all across this great land. Although our eagles are making an amazing comeback, they continue to be harassed, injured, poisoned, and killed. Also, many nesting areas, especially on private property, are vulnerable to disturbance and need to be monitored and secured. So please join me and the American Eagle Foundation to keep America's eagles flying strong and free. By doing so, you'll help preserve a precious national treasure and leave a living legacy for future generations to enjoy.
Save the eagle, save part of you and me.
Thanks, Dolly. I understand we're about the same height. We see eye to eye on many things, not only physical stature, but the belief that we live in a great country. And I really applaud you for doing what you can for Eagles and people everywhere. I've been tooling around Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg on this trip. My gosh, there's Dolly everything. I've seen
right.
Dollywood Lane, Dollywood Parkway. There's a Dolly store. I mean, the Pardons are everywhere, aren't they?
That's right. Her whole family is a rather large family, and they live all around this area. So, and many of her family actually performs at the park here.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a very special eagle with a great name, Challenger. And for everybody out there, we know that's named after the space shuttle that was the first return to flight. And in my previous life, I was actually a newspaper reporter in Florida. And one of my beats was NASA, and I covered the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. My first flight I covered was the Challenger and the return to flight. So it's pretty amazing. So let's talk about this bird, the Challenger, who really doesn't think he's an eagle, does he? Let's get the background on
that's right. Challenger actually was blown out of a nest in Louisiana, and he was just a young chick, about 5 weeks of age. The storm blew his nest to the ground. He didn't get injured, but some people found him the next day after the storm was over, and they took him in to their place and thought that they would raise him and, you know, release him into the wild when he was fully grown, because he was only 5 weeks of age.
Wow.
Eagles are full size at 12 weeks, but he
You're kidding.
That's very, very quick growth process.
Wow.
However, he was still relatively small and couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
So because he had such close human contact with these people who meant well but didn't really know how to raise an eagle to keep it wild, he became very people-oriented.
And what they weren't named John and Martha Kent, were they, by any chance?
No.
Okay. I just didn't know. It sounds like a Superman story here. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it kind of is, though. So anyways, he was released into the wild twice down in Alabama. And every time he'd fly off, he'd get hungry and land near people and beg for food. And one time he flew to Iowa, and then another time he flew to Nashville, near a lake near Nashville. And each time he would get very, very hungry, he would then start seeking out people, because that's what he remembered as a baby bird, you know, that people fed him.
And they call that a really good bird brain. And that's a
right.
good thing, right?
And technically it's called a human imprint, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyways... Challenger landed next to this guy at a boat dock outside of Nashville, and another man was his guardian angel standing, you know, fairly close by. Mm-hmm. But this guy picked up a stick and started getting ready to hit Challenger, because he thought this eagle was attacking him, and all that Challenger was doing was squawking away, saying, Give me a fish.
Just a little nibble of your kibble.
This other guy saw what he was doing and said, hey, you can't do that. That's an eagle. And, he actually prevented Challenger from, you know, really being seriously harmed that day.
Wow.
He was turned over to the American Eagle Foundation to be rehabilitated, but, of course, during the course of rehabbing him, we learned that he had already been released twice and that he landed near people three times already. So, you know, it was like three strikes and you're out. The state and the government said, the federal government said, no, he'll just end up, you know, dying out there if we release him. We'll be sending him off to his death sentence. So we got permission to use him for educational purposes. And this is another one of those things where he was physically perfect, and God gave me another vision that just said, this is a physically perfect eagle. Why don't you train him to free fly, you know, during the national anthem, you know.
Wow.
And this is when I talk
about... You have
about,
some pretty good connections. You must have good dreams, too, man.
I do. I dream all the time. But, you know, it's those inner voices that you listen
right.
to. And, of course, because my faith is so strong, I believe that's the voice of my God telling me, directing me to go, you know, do this or do that. And so I have to give him the credit for
big
some pause of these
up
great
to God
ideas.
Up above, right? Yeah, no problem. This is all behave, but we are behaving, Lord, on us.
Right. But anyway, so we trained Challenger to free fly, you know, at small events, and even at a music theater here one time in a show where we did a patriotic number.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, we worked our way up to stadiums, and he became the first eagle in U.S. history trained to free fly into stadiums during the national anthem. And we did the Olympics in 96 in Atlanta, and have done 5 World Series, 3 Pro Bowls, Men's Final Four, you know, Fiesta Bowls, BCS national titles. We've done all sorts of sporting events, but we've also, you know, appeared at the White House and the Capitol building and the Pentagon and various other places. Ground Zero, right after 9/11, Challenger went and visited all the rescue workers and such, and they even gave him his own FEMA ID card so that he, with his
really?
Picture on it, so he could get in and out of all the.
Is it a front-on shot or a left shot or a side shot?
It's probably a profile shot. Yeah.
Profile. He's quite the poser. I mean, you had a special event today, and I was in attendance, and He sure knows how to pose for cameras, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he's been photographed literally tens of thousands of times all over the United States. But
did he meet the president?
Yes, yeah,
so he met George W.
He's actually flown for four presidents.
Okay, you know, who are they?
When they were president, George Bush Sr., George W., Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton. We actually. Went to the White House and did a ceremony with Bill Clinton.
So he's two and two, Republican and Democrat. So he's a nonpartisan American
bald eagle?
That's right.
He's a nonpartisan eagle. He just represents America, and he hopes the best for America and wishes anyone who serves our country the best. So, you know,
we're talking to Al Cesari. He is the founder and president of the American Eagle Foundation, and he's chatting with us about a super celebrity by the name of Challenger, who is an American bald eagle who has literally been all over the place. Mm-hmm. We're going to tune in and learn a little bit more about this and why we're in Dollywood right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsing Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Yes, it's true, most of the time we're going to the cats and dogs, but hey, it's called Oh Behave, and we can do whatever we want. And I think it's great that the first time we're doing a show dealing with those birds and wings of flight, it is for a very special bird for all of us, the American bald eagle. And we're here in Dollywood. We're actually right there in Dollywood. Right, Al? Make sure everybody tells.
Right inside the Dollywood Park.
That's right.
Dollywood's been our sponsor now for 18 years. It's been a great partnership, and they've donated millions of dollars to our cause to keep our programs going. And Dolly's been a great person in helping us out whenever we needed, and she's a real special person.
She's
as well.
Quite an animal lover, though, too. I understand she's got a whole slew of dogs and cats.
Well,
and
she grew up in the Smoky Mountains and ran around these hills in bare feet, you know, chasing butterflies and such. So she's grew up with a lot of critters around her. She loves nature.
What's your thoughts of her when you've met her? What is she like with you and with the eagles?
Oh, just a very genuine person. You know, Dolly is who she is. I mean, she doesn't put it on any different for anyone. She just, says what she says. And she's usually got a smart comment that it'll make you laugh. You know,
right.
She's real quick-witted. You know, always comes up with something on the spur of the moment. But she's got a great sense of humor. She's got a very sensitive heart, and she's obviously a beautiful singer as well.
Oh, so, my gosh, I know. I know she's doing the 9 to 5. They're redoing that as a musical, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, she wrote all the songs for that musical, 9 to 5. They premiered it in L.A., I guess, in the middle of September sometime. Mm-hmm. And of course, they have her 9 to 5 song in there as well. They have other actors playing the roles, but she wrote the music. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's get back to Challenger. And a lot of people are curious about the eagles. Now, when I was doing some research, I had no idea that there were different types of eagles. Mm-hmm. And what sets the bald eagle apart from some, I guess there are four types of eagles?
Well, there's different types of eagles around the world, but in the United States, there's two primary eagles. There's a golden eagle and a bald eagle. And
a
golden eagle lives mostly in mountainous areas. And, you might find them in Colorado or in some mountainous areas in California. But they eat strictly animals, like rabbits and other types of mammals.
Okay.
They don't eat any fish at all. The bald eagle is primarily a fish eater. And it'll eat fish probably 80 to 90% of the time if they can get it. And they live near large bodies of water where there's plenty of tall trees to nest and roost and a lot of fish, you know, it could be a river or a lake or, you know.
Or a
ocean,
sushi bar.
Or an ocean. Yeah, or a sushi bar.
Okay.
Challenger's taken advantage of that a couple times
on
the road.
What do you mean? Oh, really? Excuse me, a party for two, including an American bald eagle who likes the sushi.
Yeah, a little salmon. That's his specialty.
Oh, is it?
When we're on the road, yeah.
That's good. What's it? So anyway, so that's the two differences.
Yeah, so the bald eagle obviously became our national symbol. They're they're comparable in size. I mean, what determines size in eagles is the males are always smaller than females.
Really?
And northern birds are larger than southern birds. So your very largest bird would be an Alaskan female.
Okay.
Your smallest would be a southern male. You know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understand, as far as the speed and wingspan, let's put them into some kind of dimension to let people know. When they're flying, how fast can they fly? How fast can they dive? What are some of the
things? Well, of course, they can soar on thermals for hours just gliding, you know, just not spending many resources. You know, they're just kind of keeping their energy conserved. And so they can do that for hours, just glide on thermals. But
like a hybrid. They're kind of like the ultimate hybrid in the air, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. In that way, yeah, if you want to put it that way. In level flight, I've heard everything from 55 to 65 miles an hour. I don't think anybody's ever actually taken some kind of
speed gun
meter, but approximately 55 to 65 miles an hour in level flight. Now, in a dive, they could go up to 200 miles an hour.
No way.
Yeah.
And how high can they go up?
They can soar over the highest mountain. So, you know, it's pretty high. But, you know, they're going to stay most of the time down close to land, you know, in trees and close to their water supply and close to their nests. You know, they don't necessarily venture up that high, you know, on a regular basis. It just depends, you know, how far they're traveling, you know. And
as far as their personality, though, I'd like to hear this. They mate for life.
They mate for life, and they'll only choose another mate if their faithful companion should die.
Wow, we can learn something from there, can't we?
Yeah, that's right. And part of the problem where the eagle declined was largely due to DDT, the pesticide that we were putting on our crops, and over the years the eggshells were very, very soft because of the DDT in the bird system. It happened to peregrine falcons and bald eagles.
Wow.
Because they were eating fish and the pesticides were in the water, the fish got the pesticide, the eagles ate the fish. And lo and behold, nobody knew for many, many years that these eggs weren't hatching, and that's where how the population declined. And there was also some mass shooting in the early days too, where, you know, there was bounties on birds of prey because they were considered to be pests and such. But all that ended when they passed the Endangered Species Act and also the Bald and Golden Eagle Act of 1940.
Mm-hmm.
The eagle was taken off the list last June. In fact, Challenger was the eagle selected by the government to be there for the announcement, and he actually flew for the announcement when they...
Well, tell us what that means for the preservation of this species and for its protection. What's happening? What can we, as the listeners, can do to make sure we have healthy eagles?
Well, you know, first of all, the population grew to about 10,000 pairs in the lower 48 states, so the government felt that was significant enough to remove them from ESA protection. And even though they're no longer protected by the ESA, they're still protected by the Bald and Golden Eagle Act of 1940, which still has some very strict protections. So the laws are still there to keep, you know, give the eagle the edge they need to not have people just go out and do what they want, you know, taking eggs or taking feathers or killing birds. However, the biggest problem is we need to be able to protect habitat for the future. And, you know, many people might not be aware of this, but the bald eagles are nesting mainly on private property coast to coast, you know, not just in state and federal parks like we would normally guess. So because of that, you know, it's going to take all of us working together to protect eagles on these lands. You know, people can get involved in nest watch programs in their state to volunteer with their state to say that they'd like to keep an eye on a nest, and many states have those programs.
I think this is a good time to shout out your website so people can learn more about the eagles and what they can do to help.
Okay, yeah, they can come there and learn an awful lot as well, and that's eagles.org.
What a great URL.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
you must have got that early on.
Oh, yeah, very early on, yeah. So that's eagles.org, eagles.org. And you'll find a lot of resources there and a lot of information about different types of eagles. Our foundation is also building an endowment fund to take care of eagles for the future. And this year, the United States Mint came out with a coin set, a gold, silver, and clad coin set that can be purchased at their website, usmint.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy these coins, a surcharge goes toward our endowment fund. So far this year, they've raised $7 million for our fund.
Wow.
And if we sell them out by December 12th, that'll be the very last day you can buy them, it'll raise $10 million for our Eagle Fund, and we'll help Eagle projects around the country with the money.
That's pretty spectacular. Well, this show will air definitely before then. We'll get it to be a sellout for you. How's that?
And one of the coins has Challenger's name and image on it. So that's the first time in the U.S. history that a legal tender U.S. coin had a celebrity eagle on a coin by name.
Wow.
And actually, no other animal has had their name on a U.S. coin.
No, remember the
Lassie,
buffalo?
Not Rin-Tin-Tin.
No. Well, that's not bad. And you think about it, you know, have you met anybody with the space program with Challenger?
I have actually run into people from the Challenger program in the past, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty...
In fact, one year, too, we did a flight down at the Astro Stadium in Texas to honor the Columbia crew as well.
So. Now, that's got to be a little unnerving when you're in this open-air stadium with this free-flying eagle who could decide to say, I think I'm going to go to lunch in Toledo. See ya! So, talk about just how you trained Challenger to really know you're the man to come back to, and what happens if he makes a wrong turn?
Right. Well, you know, for thousands of years, going way back into the history of the world, people have flown hawks using falconry techniques, you know, in the Middle East and various parts of the world. And so we use similar techniques to train birds of prey to fly for educational purposes. We don't train them to hunt. Basically, it's all food rewards and positive reinforcement.
You're training, just like us in dog and cat behavior.
That's right. You can't do anything negative with these birds. If you do anything, I've heard of some people slapping dogs with newspapers on the nose when they pee on the carpet or something. We can't do anything even remotely similar to that because the training will be set back. Everything has to be gaining their trust and letting them know that you're a safe place to be and that you're where dinner is going to happen, you know,
right.
Just like a lot of pets would be, but these birds are still, we consider them not to be pets. We just trained educational birds of prey. You know,
people always come up to you and say, "Can I pet Challenger?" And I always see you go, "No." Yeah. Explain a little bit about that.
Well, because you know, Challenger is still capable of going down there, and he might associate food with their hand and bite their hand. So, so we try to be careful how we handle him in that situation. But as far as flying in stadiums, we'll show up a couple days in advance and rehearse them. He's always very, very familiar with the stadium. So it's all real well rehearsed by the time we actually do the national anthem for the beginning of the games. And Challenger's never failed us. Yeah, he's been spectacular. And he has a really amazing way of reaching the hearts and souls of people. You know, that connection between the anthem and the bald eagle and in an environment.
I think he digs that song, don't you?
He does. He does know the song, actually, because when we're actually rehearsing him, when he hears that song, he gets all excited. You know, it's like, oh, this is my time to go and fly. And sometimes he'll come right down to me on the field, and other times he'll just soar around. And, you know, once we've let him go, he's got to do what he's got to do. You know, we just got to wait for him to but he doesn't take too long usually.
No. Yes. Well, he's hungry, and you give him really good special treats. What if I was Challenger, what would make me come back to rest on your arm?
On the road, I give him salmon, which is a very special, and that's why I referred to the sushi bar. We probably had to go to a sushi bar or two to get some food sometime.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times we have in his contract, that's in his rider for
his contract.
Fiji water and salmon.
All right,
it's got to be Atlantic wild caught.
Okay, that's cool. Is it him smelling it or seeing it, do you think?
Yeah, all birds have a very poor sense of smell.
Okay.
They have excellent eyesight, though.
All right.
And, so the old wives' tale, you know, if you find a baby bird and you pick it up and touch it, you can't put it back in the nest because the parents will smell your scent. That's totally untrue.
Oh, okay.
You know, birds have very poor sense of smell. If you see a baby bird on the ground, put it back in the nest, the parents will take
care
of it.
Very good tip. Yeah. This is Al Ciceri. He's from the American Eagle Foundation. Yeah. The man knows what he's talking about, so.
We wouldn't recommend that anybody climbs a very hard tree to do that, though.
No. Be afraid.
There's always a rehabber you can call in your state to take care of.
And if they go to eagles.org, your organization, you can help them find somebody within
their
geographical area.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a great
network. Or we'll answer their email if they've got a question like that.
Yeah. All right. So he can see the fish.
Eagles can see a fish on the surface of the water a mile away.
Wow.
And come down and get that fish. So Challenger, it's nothing for him to be in the highest seating section of a stadium, which is less than a mile.
Right.
And me down on the 10-yard line or on the pitcher's mound or wherever I'm in whatever game it is. For him to see, you know, that I've got a treat for him. But this is all he really knows because he's been doing education all his life. You know, he's never really been able to be a real eagle in the wild because of his disability of being a human imprint.
Well, he's not disappointed yet. He's always come home to roost, but you do have a backup plan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We have all kinds of techniques to...
Let's talk the tech talk. I saw something come out of his tail and it wasn't...
Yeah, we put a radio transmitter, an antenna on his tail so that, you know, if he were to fly off, we could track him, you know.
That's very smart.
And we also have other... tools of falconry that we can use that get birds' attention. You know, Challenger could be up near a mile away, and we have this thing called a lure, which is a leather sack with a strap, and you swing it, and they use these to train birds in falconry. And that always represents the largest reward that you could possibly get.
And, that's like Vegas jackpot, right?
That's right. Exactly, right.
All right.
So as soon as he sees that, he just beelines down. You know, it's like, okay, this is time to...
Well, you're
forget
busy?
About everything else and get down to business.
You know what? It's nice, Al. You are doing many of the things that we embrace in good, positive reinforcement. Whether it's your kids or your eagles or your dogs or your cats, people and animals like to work for rewards. And they like praise. We go a long way with praise rather than being nudged and nagged, don't you think?
That's right. Yeah. And we have to, and that's another thing. Once you gain a bird's appraised trust, it's all about, you know, how you handle that bird, because it's that relationship, that bond that you eventually create between one another that really makes that bird feel comfortable around you, you know. And we can take Challenger into just about any human environment now because he's been to so many places and so many
settings. How old is he about, would you say?
This year he's 19 years old.
Okay, he's a teenager still,
huh? He was blown out of the wild when he was one, so we got him when he was around one.
And how long
he was blown out of the nest at 5 weeks, but we got him when he was about 1 year of age.
How long do they average, does the American Bald Eagle lifespan?
They can live up to 50 years or more in captivity, 40 or less in the wild.
Wow, so you've got a long history with Challenger up ahead, too.
Oh, yeah, hopefully so. I hope he outlives me, actually, because you know, I don't know how it'll be a terrible experience for me when.
Oh, we hope that doesn't happen
when he passes. You know,
you got a little. What's your insider connection with Challenger? What is it that gives you one-on-one the most delight when there isn't a crowd, when there isn't a stadium, when there isn't a president on the phone? When you're just one-on-one with Challenger, what is it that draws you to him the most?
Well, you know, I mean, Challenger's just. I react to him the same way any American that hasn't seen an eagle up close. I mean, he's awesome to look at, just awesome. I mean, he's got that dead serious look, and of course I know him. I know his personality, so I, you know, when we're in our hotel room, when we're traveling coast to coast, he's in my hotel room. I have a little carrier with a perch in it that he travels on the airplanes and things.
Okay.
And we'll watch TV together sometime. I'll kind of open it up, or I'll perch him in the room. And we chirp at each other. I can do Challenger noises.
Oh, let's hear a couple. This is a radio show.
Let's say it's dark in the room, and it's 6 a.m. in the morning, and it's about time for me to get up to do my stuff on the road. Just to see if Challenger's okay, I'll kind of go. And then he'll do it back to me, and then we keep going back and forth, and it gets louder and louder. And then we have to quit because people next door.
Well, they said, I heard that, the reason the American Eagle was also a good pick way back when was that the Revolutionary soldiers saw eagles flying over during, you know, combat, and they said the screech sounded like...
Yeah, that's also one of these stories. I mean, it could be very true. You know, of course, we didn't live back then, but I've seen that written in a number of places, so I would...
That they said the word freedom, it sounded like they were saying.
Yeah, it sounded like they were screeching freedom. Also, though, the eagle was actually picked as the national bird by... the Second Continental Congress in 1782, and there was a secretary of the Congress, his name was Charles Thompson, and he happened to be a very spiritual man, but also he had some design talent as well.
Okay.
And he was the one that actually picked the eagle as the central image on our national emblem, and he got the idea from the American Indians. He was known by the American Indians as the man who spoke the truth, because he had a really good relationship with American Indians, this Charles Thompson. And so he, because the eagles looked up to the eagle as one of their most powerful symbols, spiritually and otherwise, he thought it would be a great symbol for America. Because the eagle, the bald eagle, can only be found in North America, nowhere else in the world. So the British could not claim that.
There you go.
And we were at war.
Made
with
in
the
USA.
British.
There That's you
right.
go.
Exactly,
there you go.
Exactly right.
We need more of that, you know?
Yeah.
We are listening to Al Ciceri. He is the founder and president of the American Eagle Foundation. Please, everyone, go to eagles.org, the website. You're going to learn amazing things, and I hope that you consider donating. If you're ever in the neck of woods of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, please pop into Dollywood.
Yes.
Not only do they have rides, amusement, and shows, and great eats, but they have a very special eagle sanctuary with a lot of eagles that no longer are able to be out in the wild. Okay. They got a pretty good gig here at Dollywood, and we want everybody to come over and see it. Is there anything else about that?
Yeah, we have Eagle Mountain Sanctuary, which is the world's largest exhibit of non-releasable eagles, and it's all in a natural setting on a hillside. And we have a Wings of America Birds of Prey show, which we do 4 shows a day, and people come sit in our theater and have birds fly over their head and learn a little bit about, you know, different
right.
types of birds of prey that live in North America, and including our eagles. But it's a pretty amazing show, and people love it. And it's one of the highest shows that are commented on our exit surveys. You know, people love the eagles at Dollywood.
Well, we thank Dolly for pardon for letting us
She's
be here
today. She's
number
one on the list.
She's number one. I would think that would probably be smart. And then
right.
the Birds of Prey and the Challenger and Al Ciceri are right up there soaring like eagles. In fact, his cell phone song is
Fly Like an Eagle.
Of course, of course. Hey, I want to take this time also to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen every week. I want you to tune in to Pet Life Radio. Check out all the other shows that we have. And, of course, Obehave. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just 2 words to all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there.
All behave.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.